Welcome to the WAN Show, everyone. We've got a fantastic show for you guys this week, and I have to apologize in advance. This show is, in fact, live. B0 Barryin, this QWO. Look, that's my proof that we are live. But beyond that, I am cutting off the chat because I have not seen the new Star Wars movie yet.
Oh.
And I cannot risk you pieces of human garbage out there who think spoilers are funny ruining it for me.
Do you care that much?
You know what? That would be a great topic. Add it to the WAN Show document. Okay. We'll talk about it later. In the meantime, I need to fill you guys in on what's going to be on the show today. iFixit has done their teardown of the new Mac Pro, gives it a 9 out of 10 for repairability.
Fantastic.
Okay, is it safe to assume that Apple has turned over a new leaf?
No.
Okay, of course not. We'll talk about that more later. Apple, Google, Microsoft, Dell, and Tesla have been sued for using child labor.
Womp womp. Yikes.
The New York Times has done a location tracking expose, basically telling us what we all knew but try not to think about, and it's pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And what else we got here?
And Apple, Amazon, and Google unite to create a universal smart home standard.
we're gonna tie that in with the discussion about location tracking.
Yeah.
It'll be grand. You'll love it. Let's go ahead and roll that intro!
Intro, 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 intro!
Oh, I went to look at the chat, and I was like, oh,
it's gone.
Sorry, chat, you're done. Like, if I stream Beat Saber tonight, I was thinking I might stream tonight. I'm just gonna, like, normally I have the chat on, because I take song recommendations and stuff, and I'm just gonna be like, yeah, whatever.
We're listening to my music.
I'm doing exactly no Q&A, and I'll, oh, whoa, the intro's already done. Holy crap, that went fast. Look at those sponsors. So CanadaSupply.ca, got that Ridgewell, got that Displate. Cool. All right, so why don't we jump into this right away. Now, our Mac Pro actually just arrived, and spending over 20,000 Canadian rubles on a computer, sorry, Mac people, that's all it is, it's just a computer, makes me extraordinarily uncomfortable.
Experience.
So I am trying really, really hard to get all of our content made so that we can return it within the 14-day window.
That sounds very important.
So, unfortunately, I haven't managed to do, like, I haven't managed to, like, tear it down or anything like that, because the second it arrived, it went onto Anthony's desk, and he started running benchmarks. Although, we do have a bit of a problem. One of the cool things about the Mac Pro is how highly upgradable it is. So, we actually went and made our decision-making process about the hardware that we were putting in it based on that we knew that it was going to be highly upgradable. Now, Intel did manage to pull some strings, and they've gotten me the 20-core 3215X or whatever it is. The top-end 28-core. Did I say 24-core before? Doesn't matter.
I think you said 20.
Whatever. The 28-core processor.
Sure.
The top-end one that Apple ships with the Mac Pro. They got me one of those. But it's taken a long time, and they're only loaner units, and they actually haven't shipped to us yet. So we're gonna have a span of, like, between the Christmas holidays and how soon we're gonna need to return the Mac Pro and how late the chips are gonna reach us, we're gonna have a span of, like, 2 days, if we're lucky, to actually make all the Mac Pro
content
that we're
planning.
And you
gotta do it, because that computer is more expensive than
my car. Actually, no. My car is more expensive, but, like,
it's more expensive than two of my cars.
Not by that much. Yeah. And,
like,
and, and I just bought a car a year ago.
Like, yeah, there you go. That's a bit better of
like,
a
it's
metric.
Not an old car.
It's more expensive than my car when I bought it in 2013. That's amazing.
And it was even, like, a decent used car.
Yeah.
Like, what are you driving? A TAL?
Acura TL.
Acura TL.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's crazy.
Anyway.
It also, okay, I have a little bit of a bone to pick.
Sure.
Not much of one, because I don't know how many people are
just
like,
remember, we're on Twitch, so you can't touch it on stream.
9 out of 10, it's a desktop.
Right. I keep trying to look at the chat.
Right, yeah. It's a desktop.
Well, just because it's a desktop doesn't mean it's repairable. Technically, the garbage can was a desktop. Did it sit on your desktop?
But it's like a standard format.
Did it go on top of the desk?
Often,
yes or no.
Went on the floor.
Yes or no.
Often went on the floor.
So
it
can
looked like a garbage
so
can.
So can a normal desktop.
It looked better on the floor.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But it did go on you.
It was a desktop.
It was a desktop.
Okay. And even previous Macs have not necessarily been particularly upgradable. Like, we tried to do a teardown of a Power Mac G5 a little while ago, and it was a nightmare. Like, the number of special screwdrivers and stuff that you needed, and, oh, well, no, you can't take that one out until you've done that one.
Right.
The fact that they actually put enough thought into it that to open the case, you just twist the handle and pull the whole thing off, comes right off. The case buttons and LEDs are not attached by cables. They're
cool.
They're just contact points, which is pretty sick. And removing the housing cuts power to the machine, which is also super sick. Oh no, why are you here?
Do you guys know that Floatplane's not live right now?
Yes.
Floatplane's not live right now?
Yeah, we know.
Oh, we know?
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I do.
Oh, why are they not live?
I'm not sure. But AJ's on it, and multiple other people are on it. We're working on it. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
We have already addressed that to the chat. Everything is fine.
Oh, okay. Cool. Neat. Well, oh, I dragged the window over. No. Hold on. So I got to get this out of here before I accidentally read something cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is super sick. I have actually pitched that design to case manufacturers before. Like, what exactly is it that we have to have these stupid wires? Like, why isn't this just, like contacts, because the funny thing is, we've seen it before. What's their face? Is it NZXT that was doing it for a little bit with their case fans?
Oh.
Who was it?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was them. So
yeah,
the idea of having like your fans connect to these little modules,
so,
with really short wires, and then it just goes together and you've just got a spring-loaded contact point. That's awesome. It's a great idea. So
yeah,
you
would take out like a fan module basically and install your fan in it, and the wire for your fan would wire into the fan module, so it's all nicely put together. Then you'd click it into your case and that would run out past. It was really nice.
So inside the Mac Pro, there's a switch to pop open the cover that hides the RAM, which is also user replaceable, which is a good thing. Now, okay, I did see the expose that Apple is using the cheapest memory. But I'll give you guys a little knowledge bomb here. Everyone uses the cheapest memory in commodity desktop systems. And once again, I'm sorry, Mac people, it's just a computer. This doesn't surprise me at all, and it also doesn't particularly matter. Now, the cast latency of those modules was not particularly good, but to my knowledge, load-reduced DIMMs are not known for their exceptional latency. They're actually architected significantly differently from normal ECC-registered DIMMs. So I have a video coming about this where I load up a single motherboard with 2 terabytes of RAM, which, by the way, is a half a terabyte more than the Mac Pro can handle at this time, just saying. So I load up a motherboard with 2 terabytes of RAM, and I go through what makes a load-reduced DIMM different from a regular registered ECC DIMM, because the cold hard truth is you cannot put 1.5 terabytes of regular registered memory into a single socket machine. The memory controller just cannot handle it. So a load-reduced DIMM allows you to have what is effectively multiple DIMMs sandwiched into a single slot at a greater density than you can do normally. So the chips that are on your actual memory module, they can have what is effectively sort of multiple like chunks. So you can have ones that are like essentially four of those chips, but like just in one. And normally having a bunch of those puts a bunch of extra load on the memory controller. With a load reduced DIMM, instead of your memory controller communicating directly with every single one of those chips, there's a buffer chip that handles it, that's kind of right in the middle of the module and that they all communicate with. So it just reduces the load. It's, I wanna say, kind of similar to the concept of fully buffered DIMMs from back in the day, but without a bunch of the extra heat and power consumption and other issues that fully buffered DIMMs dealt with. So there you go. There's really no getting around that, I don't think, but we'll investigate it more once we actually pop ours open and see if even all of them are shipping with the same RAM, because it's quite common for memory to be multiple sourced.
Look at GPUs.
Yeah.
GPUs have that all the time. The mining community became very aware of that. One thing I want to ask you is, what do you think about this getting a 9 out of 10 and having a non-user replaceable SSD?
That is... You know what? I didn't even think of that. But now that you mention it...
Because that kind of bugs me. Because, like, think about the things that are going to fail on the computer.
Like,
right?
It's a 9 out of 10 by Apple standards for sure.
Fair.
For sure.
Yep.
But not having a way to replace the SSD by yourself.
Because there is a thing over top of it that is bound to a T2 chip. Yes. Blower fan. So if you remove that, you trip the T2 chip. It's a no-go.
Yeah. And the fact that if your motherboard dies, the only ones who can repair it are Apple without you suffering data loss. Like, to me, a drive failure is like, I mean, it should be one of the most user fixable things ever. I mean, do you think
that's a big enough deal personally that that should drive purchasing decisions, basically.
Do you think the main motivation behind the T2 chip, because to be clear, an encrypted drive is a great idea. It's a great way to ensure better data security for your customers. But the way that Apple does it is entirely unnecessary. It doesn't have to be bound to the motherboard by hardware like that. Do you think the ultimate motivation here is to kill the Hackintosh?
Oh.
Because
I actually didn't consider
if
that.
There is no way for anyone outside of Apple to change the boot drive of a Mac, then there's no reason why anyone should have to download macOS. The only way to get macOS would be on a pre-installed drive.
All of their macOS devices have non-user, because their laptops are non-user replaceable SSDs too.
So I give the Hackintosh community like 3 more years, maybe.
Oof.
Big oof.
Big oof.
That's my take on this. I think that is ultimately what Apple's after here, because there is no other reason for them to lock it down like that. The encryption could easily be handled on the drive itself.
And just to fully confirm, the laptops also have T2 bound SSDs, right?
Yes. So the one recent machine, if I recall correctly, that didn't have a T2 chip was a refreshed version of an iMac or something. Was it? Shoot, I don't remember. It might have been a refreshed iMac non-pro or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But as soon as Apple has the entire lineup refreshed, my assumption is that they are going to start phasing out the ability to install macOS on your own, and they are basically going to be the gatekeepers of macOS being installed on hardware.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had some pretty major update and then remove downloads. So, like, you can't get the major update now.
Yep.
And just, like, create separation almost immediately and then push from there.
Yep. And the thing is, like, for a time, and Hackintoshers are used to this, for a time, you'll be able to run your hack on the older version of macOS, because even a lot of people with legit Macs will run an older version of macOS. Like, Justine, of all people, was telling me, she's like, no, I, like, never update right away. forget it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Mac users and Windows users, we aren't so different, are we?
Yeah, no, that's not a bad idea. Delaying updates, often very good.
All right, so I actually totally agree with you now. I hadn't thought of it at all, but that is 100%. Like, I would knock 2 points off for that.
Yeah.
Not being able, in the middle of the night, not being able to pop a new drive in and reformat my machine and get up and running is a huge problem to me. And if it was as simple as Apple having like hardware DRM built into their compatible drives, like I said, I've got no problem with drive encryption schemes. That's good. That could actually be a user-friendly thing. So if there was a way to take like a validated Apple approved SSD and pop that thing in there, get my system back up and running. Yeah, fine. I don't have to like it. I don't have to like that it's going to cost me extra for the special, magical Apple one. But at least I can accept that. That is still user serviceable, whereas this is not user serviceable in a way that is a huge problem.
And I think something that you said there was pretty good, where you were like, if you're comparing this apples to apples, that was not originally intentional, but then I did recognize it before I said it. If you're comparing this apple to apple, maybe the 9 out of 10, okay,
Yeah.
Because the case has some really nice features. There's some really like single screw removable devices that are safe to be done that way, etc.
Yeah. The IO really boards are held in place by thumb screws. Freaking
That's
awesome.
That's pretty sweet. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff.
Single switch for the PCIe card. So it's a little rail with hooks that secures anything in its path. The so power supply. Oh, wow. The IO board, video card, and power supply all come out from the same side of the case. The power supply is held in by a single screw. It's freaking awesome.
Very easy to work on. Gains a lot of points because of that. But I think it almost becomes like capped in how high it can go because of the intensity of the negativity around the non-user replaceable SSD, which is, in my opinion, one of the most important pieces to be able to replace as a user.
Now, the rest of the storage is upgradable. Can you give them back half a point or a point for that? It's better than nothing, which is what you get with a MacBook.
Yeah.
But then we're trying not to put the Apple filter on this.
Because a normal tower, that would just... It's not even that that would be a feature. That's just like your car has wheels. Like, I don't...
Okay, it's $400 for the wheels. You know about this, right? Was that the reference?
No.
Oh, it costs $400 for the wheels for the Mac Pro. Like, there's wheels. Oh. We didn't buy the wheels.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's probably... Now, that's a user-upgradable feature. You could go get some wheels and put them on
your
Mac.
Put some rims on there, some spinners.
You can put some really big wheels. Yeah.
So, the good stuff. You can remove the cooler and the CPU. So, the good stuff. A fair number of the modules can be swapped without tools. Uses mostly standard screws and connectors. I personally think this is a big deal. You know, Apple created their new magical PCI Express slot with more power pins at the back, but then they also have a place to just plug in modular cables and provide power to other cards. Like, they're actually...
There are certain parts of the computer that it seems like they're inviting you to upgrade and work on.
Like, yeah, and not just that, but it's not even like an invitation necessarily, and Apple might never intend for any first-party card to ever use, like a standard, ew, ugly, oh, wow, it's a cable, yuck, you know, connector. They might never intend for that to happen, but at least they're accounting for that it might. Whereas with the trash can, it was like, it is so perfectly, beautifully engineered, all one thing, you'll never need to touch it again, you know, unless we provide upgrades. Oh, we never provided an upgrade. Oh, crap. Now what? So at least they're leaving the door open for, you know, if Apple gets bored of professional users who use desktops again, at least AMD might have the option of going, oh, Apple, can we please make a new graphics card for your customers who would really like a new graphics card? Please, Apple, can we make one? And they might be able to say, yeah, sure, go for it. And then AMD, if they don't feel like it, might just be like, you know what, we're not going to use the weird PCIe slot. We're just going to reuse one of our normal designs and put a BIOS on it that makes it Apple compatible.
Yeah. The bad. Apple still keeps
free public repair manuals and videos. That's good. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the bad. Apple still keeps the keys to certain repairs like proprietary SSD, like we just spent a long time talking about. And some of Apple's repairs manuals include or entirely a disclaimer insisting that you contact an Apple-authorized service provider when in reality the repair could easily be done at your desk.
I don't blame them for that. I don't think that's that bad, personally.
I think the entirely comprised of is a bit of a, you know... But they also didn't need to give you that.
Yeah, they didn't have to give you that at all.
I will retract my thing. I don't actually mind that, to be honest. If you needed to look in the Apple-specific manual about how to do this, maybe you should bring it to a repair person.
Maybe you should. If you're not comfortable, maybe you should. There's
if you're
nothing
not comfortable
wrong with
working on your $25,000 potentially plus dollar computer, maybe you should.
Or maybe if your boss isn't comfortable with you working on your up to $50,000 machine.
Sure.
Which hopefully they didn't spend $50,000 because the upgrade prices are terrible.
So what I was talking about with the SSD thing, where like it should maybe drive purchasing decisions, is you could buy a decent one, but with like a beast SSD, so that you don't have to upgrade that in the future, but you have upgrade avenues for other parts.
Yep.
So that's, like, it's interesting that they did that.
The problem, though, is that the entry-level machine just makes absolutely no sense. It's like, we paid $20,000 for a computer with an 8-core processor.
Right, but you could, like, do a single GPU, or, like, there's a few things you could do.
Yeah. I mean, ugh.
Or a single card,
I mean, the single card, though, it's, like, basically a glorified RX 580. Like, it's, like...
It'd be nice if you could order it with no card.
Yeah, yeah, honestly. Just, you know what, I'm just... I've got a crappy video card kicking around.
Yeah,
throw my, like...
I'll buy some previous Bitcoin cards for, like, nothing.
Yeah, I upgraded to RTX. I'm just gonna...
Yeah.
What's there up, Nick?
You should talk about...
Merch.
LTTstore.com.
LTTstore.com.
Nice shirt, Nick.
ILTTstore.com.
LTTstore.com.
Toy trains.
Oh, yeah.
LTT Stealth Hoodie is now back in stock in every size. And this could be it, ladies and gentlemen. I am not sure if we are going to keep stocking this one. It's been a great mover for us.
Yeah.
But all good things must come to an end. We've had quite a number of people messaging us saying, hey, what happened to the Swacket? When you guys restocking the Swacket? I still don't have a Swacket. And I'm like, you ain't getting one. Because I
Too
said
late,
this is
nerd.
A limited time item.
Yeah.
So it's like, there you go. LTT Stealth Hoodie, if you guys want one, make sure you are getting on top of that. Also, Stealth Water Bottle is back in stock. We blew through basically all of these back when we did the Stealth Bundle. So that's why they've been out of stock for a while. There you go. We've also got, of course, oh wait, is the golden black one in stock, or should I not be talking about that?
That's not in stock.
Oops, sorry, that's not in stock. Ignore it.
But that'll be back.
Hey!
Hey, Stealth Water Bottle.
Hey!
Yeah, golden black early next year.
Okay, early next year, and black and gold's coming back. All right.
Listen to your feedback, and we were looking at different water bottles.
Oh yeah, today. We're gonna do a big one. Yeah, so that'll be cool. All right. Got another great topic for you guys, sort of. Apple, Google, Microsoft, Dell, and Tesla sued for using child labor. So in the first lawsuit of its kind, they are being sued on behalf of 14 Congolese families whose children were killed or permanently injured while illegally mining cobalt for electronics made by these companies. Filed in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia by human rights group International Rights Advocates, the federal class action lawsuit alleges that the companies aided and abetted a system of forced child labor and had specific knowledge of the conditions these children were working in, but did not act in order to protect their profit margins.
That is not great.
Nope. Each of these companies has specific policies claiming to prohibit child labor in their supply chains.
That does, in fact, make it worse.
Their failure to actually implement these policies to stop forced child labor in cobalt mining is an intentional act to avoid ending the windfall of getting cheap cobalt, alleges the International Rights Advocates in their complaint. So cobalt is an important component of lithium-ion batteries that get used in many modern electronics. In the lawsuit, the families argue that their children were illegally working at cobalt mines owned by Glencore, the world's largest cobalt producer. They then supplied the cobalt to Umicore, a Belgian mining company and metals trader, and then Umicore then provided the cobalt to Apple, Google, Tesla, and Dell. They also implicated, oh boy, I hate it when I have to do this, Xijing Huayu Cobalt, a Chinese cobalt producer which works with Apple, Dell, and Microsoft. Wow.
Oof.
That's rough. So last year, the Democratic Republic of Congo produced somewhere between 60 and 70% of the world's cobalt, and a third of that was artisanal, or subsistence mining, independently done outside of formal employment with a mining company. So I guess that's where you might run into trouble there. So in the complaint, the Congolese families go into vivid detail explaining how abject poverty made them desperate enough to work in the mines, paying as little as $2 a day for this dangerous and demanding work. In one instance, a child went into a Glencore-owned mine after his family could no longer afford his school fees. A tunnel collapsed on him and his body was never recovered, according to the lawsuit. Others have been paralyzed.
Okay, all right.
I mean, what even is the dollar amount that's right for something like that? You know, how do you sue for children dying?
There's okay, I don't know if this is the right applicable point in time. I don't know legal stuff way too much, but there's a certain point, and I was talking to someone about this the other day when it comes to government construction. You know how, so this is completely off topic, but you know how very often any government construction project goes like way over budget and way over time?
Yeah.
It blows my mind that at a certain point, you don't just go like, you don't get that company anymore. That's ours. Goodbye. Gross misuse. You're not allowed to be a company.
Hmm.
I don't know if this is the right case.
How do you do that?
I don't know if the government construction thing is the right case. I don't know if that's a good idea ever. But there's at a certain point, if it's like, yeah, you effectively murdered children, you don't get to make large decisions about people's lives anymore.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I mean, that the idea is supposed to be that you go to jail. I mean, that's supposed
but
to
I
be
But I think
it.
The corporation model makes that
very difficult. Yeah. So that's true. So I see what you're saying. So you're saying, okay, you just wasted, you know, $14 million of taxpayer funds. You need to be accountable for this in some way. Instead of us just being like, okay, well, whatever, it's taxpayer money anyway, and just paying you, like you...
Like, I've always... I don't know what the answer is,
right.
But I've always felt like something more drastic should happen because of how intensely consistent it is.
Right, yeah.
Like, it happens every time.
So you feel like if you go millions and millions of dollars over budget on, like, a public job, that it's effectively, like, stealing from the public.
Yeah.
Because is it really different... So if we talk about, you know, and I honestly, this is very stream of consciousness, guys. Don't hold this against me.
And I don't know anything about that industry. I'm very likely glossing over things.
We're just discussing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you're basically saying, okay, well, what's the difference between tax fraud or tax evasion, where you don't pay taxes, or tax wasting of taxes that were already paid? If the idea is just that the public purse is the resources that belong to all of us.
And this should apply not to construction. That was just a very easy, in-your-face example.
Just because it's always over budget.
Yeah. But I'm sure there are other things that happen government level that are massively over budget. They're just not as in-your-face. You don't drive by it all.
Well, yeah. Like, what's his face? The recently disgraced head of the Canadian Conservative Party. What's his name again? I can't remember. Boy, he wasn't charismatic.
No.
Andrew Scheer.
There we go.
Yeah, Andrew Scheer had something like... So he was. It was first found out that he was using public money to pay for his kid's private school.
Okay.
So that...
So
brilliant.
He stole money.
So, well, okay, but not just that. Stole money to put his kids... To keep his kids from the education system that, as a government worker, he's supposed to be making good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's just a little bit of, like... general hypocrisy in there. And now they're investigating him for somewhere between $700,000 and $900,000 of just, like, personal use of... I forget if it was, like, campaign or donor funds or, like, just public money. So it was just, like, really, really bad look. He stepped down now. They're in trouble. There's such a leadership vacuum there. It's, like, between the Canadian Conservative Party and the American Democratic Party, just, like... Half of North American politics just has no idea who they should put in
charge.
Basically,
empty seat. Yeah. And anyways, I've always just felt like, and like I've seen software projects go down the same line. I'm not trying to pick on construction people.
I've seen software projects go down the same line.
We have. The difference here. It's very fair. The difference here is if we were proposing like a government project, I would expect...
You didn't give me a quote.
No.
You were
and I had no idea.
You were smart enough to not give me a quote, and you did say that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And you did tell me that the scope of the project was unreasonable. And I said, well, let's give it the old college
try. And you know what? If that's the agreement...
Here we are 3 years later.
Yeah.
Finally in beta.
Hey. And doing pretty okay. We've had some stumbles, some of which were not our fault.
Yeah.
You're probably watching this.
C word.
I am mad again.
Yeah. I'm mad at the C word again.
The only angry emails I have ever sent in the entire time of working on Floatplane have been to only them. And I think this whole time, I'm like, they probably think I'm just a jerk.
I don't think they do, because every time you've been mad, it's been for very reasonable things.
I hope so.
Like, never replying to emails.
It's just,
or not performing, like, core functions of their
service. Job.
Yeah.
The job.
You had one job.
Come on.
And
please.
If you can't do that job, your second fallback job was to notify us that you couldn't do that job.
Or respond. Like, yes. I just, anyways.
They know you're mad right now, right? Like, they're not going to find out while they're watching the show.
It's pretty clear,
you
I think
so? Okay.
Yeah.
Because you know people from there watch this show, right?
Yeah. If it's not pretty clear, I'm way too Canadian. One of the two. Because
okay.
I, like, tried to make it pretty clear. Anyways, moving on. But, like, when you are massive, many hundreds, if not thousands of employees, companies.
Yeah, when you're LendCore or something.
Do this thing for, like, this is everyday stuff.
Yeah.
You build bridges.
Yeah.
You construct massive buildings. Like, that's what you do, and you've been doing it for possibly generations.
Yeah.
You should probably be a little bit more accurate.
Now, stuff can happen.
Sure.
You can be excavating, and it's like, we just found T-Rex fossils.
And
they're in the way. Archaeologists are going to be up in this biz for 36 months. We can't build a thing.
And you should
and
have...
And we had all this stuff, we had all these equipment brought in already. What are we going to do?
And you should have insurance for that.
Oh, I see.
That should be on you. And if that increases the cost, sure.
Because okay.
you know what? Maybe all of this stuff should be more expensive. It just shouldn't go over budget.
I see what you mean. Okay. All right.
Well, we just derailed super
hard.
Yeah,
what were we even
We should do ad
about?
Spots. We were talking about Apple, Google, Microsoft, Dell,
okay,
and Tesla
back to
using
that.
Child labor.
If the allegations are true, that's terrible. At this point, I can't say that it would surprise me that much for a number of reasons. I mean, number one
We've
is I do know that Congo is basically where cobalt comes from. And Congo is not known for, the Democratic Republic of Congo, whatever they call themselves these days.
Sure.
They're not known for having stringent labor laws. And I don't want to say that if you want cobalt and the only one producing cobalt is doing it incorrectly, that's the only way to get it. Like, you can have policies and you can stick by your policies that you need to be auditing your supply chain on a very regular basis, but I will say that it's possible that in a place that is as poorly regulated as that they could clean everything up when the auditor's coming in, and you could feasibly not know. But if you're following your policies and they are well-conceived ones, I would say that there's not really much excuse for not knowing. I mean, even at our size and with our resources, we did manage to track down that one of our factories that was producing LTT merch was not up to our standards. There was no child labor involved, as far as we can tell, but the working conditions were not considered acceptable for us, so we are currently in the process. There's an item that's probably going to be in shortage over the next little bit while we're sourcing a new factory to work with. So, like, if we can do it, I think Microsoft and Google can do it better.
I am technically detached, and not even just technically, I am detached. But, I mean, I'm wearing the merch and stuff. One thing... I think that is super cool as, like, a customer person.
We're trying, but I'm not going to say that we're perfect.
No,
we could have caught it earlier if we'd been more diligent. Quite
sure.
To be perfectly transparent.
But I still think it's cool that at the very least it was cut off, because that almost feels like the... Remember when we were doing the Sennheiser and Omron tours?
Yeah.
And we were like, no, you guys got to show the, like, failure bins.
Right.
And neither of them wanted to show the failure bins.
Yeah.
I think just, like, dealing with that at all, I think a lot of companies wouldn't.
Right.
And the fact that you're letting it go into shortage on the site and doing the work to change the thing, I can tell right now that you feel bad because you're refusing to look at me. But but at least something was done, and I think that's cool.
Right.
Maybe it could have been done a little bit faster.
Yeah.
That was also the first time it's happened, I'm assuming.
This is the first time that we've caught anyone.
So maybe things will be done a little bit more routine-like in the future.
We're
going to
try. I mean, I've talked about this before.
It's
the
difficult.
Reality of it is we are a one-person department right now. Lloyd, one and change.
Lloyd and sort of Nick.
Lloyd and sort of Nick. are the only ones working there. And Lloyd has only managed to make one trip back to China. We do have some concerns as a media outlet with sending people to China. We are working on sourcing not in China. In fact, not all of our stuff even now is sourced in China. But getting overseas and having basically, you know, a week's worth of productivity lost in travel and time zone shifts and stuff like that.
When you are the vast majority of the team.
Yeah.
It's tough.
But we are adding another person soon. And so what we are hoping is that as we go on, we can be more and more diligent about
this
stuff.
I think my big thing is, I can feel the feels bad, but I think my big thing is most people wouldn't feel bad because they would have never tried.
I guess. Yeah, I guess that's...
And, like, even if you look at, like, some of those shops online where you can just, like, design a logo, put it on something,
yeah,
I guarantee you tons of that stuff is made in shops that would be below most people's standards.
Sure. Yep.
And no one checks.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think the vast majority of groups would not check.
I mean,
especially at that size.
I think with these guys, though, especially because they have these policies in place, I mean, does that to you make
it worse? The size of those...
Because then it's just hypocritical.
Personally, yes, it does make it worse.
Right.
Also, the size of the companies and the amount of people working on the logistics and stuff like that is also a lot more substantial than a one-person crew. I do also sympathize with the point that you brought up, which is... And I have no idea because I don't know anything about the logistics of cobalt.
Where else are you going to get cobalt?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there is other places. Maybe there isn't. I genuinely have no idea. If that's the only place, then, like, I would hope that they would be trying to do something about improving that situation. But I can also understand that the wheel needs to keep turning. So they're the largest producer?
Where is cobalt found in the world? Usually not mined alone. Cobalite, whatever. Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Is listed first.
Mainland China. Great. Zambia, friggin' great. Russia, good luck. And Australia. Okay. But Australia's number
listed
five.
Last. I do know Australia has a lot of mining. They also have a I don't know what he's titled over there. I'm going to assume prime minister, who's, like, super away on a vacation in Hawaii while their country burns, which is fantastic. It's really, really cool.
All right, we should probably do sponsor spots.
Yes.
Because you know what? Massive shout out to our sponsors for enabling us to bring this WAN show to you today. Ridge Wallet has some cool designs. That's not it.
Oh.
That's it.
Hey, that's actually pretty sweet.
So guys, Ridge Wallet is the wallet that helps you reduce your bulge. That is to say, your wallet bulge. With a Ridge Wallet, you can stop carrying around pointless items like receipts, old hotel room keys, and spent gift cards. A Ridge Wallet helps you carry less by being just simple. It's just two plates with a strong band that holds it together. You pop your finger in here, it pops out your cards, and you go ahead and use them. And the plates are RFID blocking, so you don't have to worry about credit card skimmers grabbing your info. Check out this design. Is that not cool? It's like a Hawaiian, like, floral design.
Yeah, mine's tiki.
I can just imagine the person who pulls this wallet out of their pocket, and they are a hero.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lifetime guarantee. They're available in aluminum, carbon fiber, and titanium, and they have new prints available like the tiki and tropical, which I think is
the print of the tiki feels nice.
Yeah.
Does yours have, like,
a... This one, too, yeah. It's got a texture to it. It's really nice, actually.
Yeah, like you can see the texture a little bit.
They don't just sell wallets. They've got battery banks, bags, smartphone covers, and more. So use offer code Linus to get 10% off everything at ridge.com/Linus. Also bringing the show to you today is Displate. Displate is a magnet-mounted metal print. It's durable, and you don't need any power tools to hang it. With over 250,000 different arts. They've got a style for absolutely everyone, and they are easily mounted with magnets with no holes in your wall required. You can make adjustments, you can swap them out, and they plant 10 trees for every display purchased. They have actually partnered with CD Projekt Red to create Cyberpunk 2077 prints, and you can head to our link below, that's lmg.gg/displatewen, to save 15%. I think there are some Linus Tech Tips disc plates.
Code LTT. Yeah, I remember that being a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I like those.
That one's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Oh wow! So they just like Photoshop it onto a. I guess it's
well. That's
just
how they
the
do
scale.
With shirts and stuff too.
Okay, that's pretty cool. More from this collection.
James is pretty sweet.
James's is sick.
That's very.
Why is he holding a duck? I don't know, and it doesn't matter. That is so cool. What else is in this collection?
Very John Wick.
We've got the Riley.
That one's pretty cool.
That one's pretty sweet. He looks so pro there.
Yeah, he does.
This looks dirty. Okay, he could have done a better job. But this looks cool.
Yep.
Who else do we have? Yes, Dennis, ever popular. Okay, is Dennis's car, like, iconic? Is that even his car? I think that is. I think that's his crappy Civic.
I think that is.
He actually drives a very similar model Civic to the one that I had for so long.
I never thought it was
James's iconic. Might be the best.
I think James's is the best.
Mind you, Alex's is pretty cool too.
Literally, okay, he's supposed to. I was like, he literally looks like a wizard. And then I realized that that's definitely the goal.
Laptop
oh, wow.
wizard.
That's fantastic.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're a wizard, Alex.
Wait, I don't even know what other people... Oh, man, now I have to go through them all again because I want to know what it says at the bottom. Oh, no, James doesn't have one.
I think he's...
Dennis has one. Dennis has one. I woke up like this. Yep, that sounds like a thing he would say. Okay. I have to know what mine says, too.
Does it say it? Oh, it does.
The Lambo. Oh, okay, that's not
that
cool. Whatever. Other than that, mine looks
it's
really cool.
It's fine.
All right,
next.
What else we got? Oh, yeah, right. O Canada Supply. So, yeah. Oh, speaking of our laptop wizard standing in our fancy workshop, O Canada Supply is the hardware store by Canadians for Canadians. They pride themselves on offering all the supplies and tools that you need to get the job done. They've got over 10,000 high-quality products from known brands like Milwaukee, 3M, and DeWalt, and you can check them out now for all your tool and hardware needs. They've actually got a giveaway. Oh, cool. You can win a Milwaukee contractor kit that contains a backpack, self-tracting safety knife, and close quarters tube cutter set. Cool. So check it out at the link in the video description.
Sweet.
Moving on the show here.
Should we take a break from major topics and talk about Star Wars?
All right, let's do it. Have you seen it?
No.
Wait, no, we talked about this already. I'm an idiot. All right, cool.
Okay.
Have you seen anything about it? Do you know anything? Don't, if you know anything, if you even know if it's like supposed to be good,
I
don't want to know. I haven't watched a trailer.
I know how you deal.
I don't even know who's in the movie.
Okay.
I know one person who's in the movie because I could not avoid the headlines about, I forget his name.
I'm not even going to assume.
The one who lost the script.
I have seen the headline that they figured out who it was, but I didn't click on it because I didn't want to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well then, good. I didn't give you any hints that you didn't already have. Okay. Yeah. So what was your question again?
Do you actually really want to go see it?
If I actually really wanted to go see it, I would have seen it already or I'd be seeing it tonight. I don't even have a ticket.
Yeah. I don't either.
Now, I don't want it spoiled.
Yeah.
When I get around to seeing it, I would like to have the full experience. I would like any plot twists.
Have you liked any of the movies that have come out since Disney purchased?
Remind me what they are again. So we've got
the
Force
Awakens.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi.
Force Awakens is the last one that I bought the Blu-ray of. That should give you some idea.
Okay.
And I only bought it for Force Awakens because I like wanted to own the whole sequel trilogy. And then just didn't end up...
Gave up on that
buying,
one.
Buying... Yeah. I don't even remember what the second one was called, to be perfectly
the
honest with
Jedi.
You.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And then there was Rogue One.
I would say Rogue One was the best of them, but critically flawed.
Yes. Okay. I like that. I agree with that, to be honest. Then Solo. Did you even see Solo?
I eventually watched Solo on my phone on a plane, and that was all it deserved.
Okay, so... Are you even going to go see this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it.
Okay.
Because my wife will want to go see it, even though, like, she's... That's the funny thing, too, is she's not... Okay, how do I put this nicely? She likes the prequel trilogy more than the original trilogy. So to call her, like, a good Star Wars fan, you know,
You know what made me appreciate the prequels a lot more?
Yeah, the sequels.
okay, that's fair. The books.
Really? Which books?
Books for episode 1, 2, and 3 actually helped a lot.
Really?
Because they go over like what's going in the character's head and stuff, and it adds a lot better context and reasons.
So
and
if
stuff
the
like that.
Acting had been better, maybe they would have been better movies.
Or writing.
Or the directing.
Or directing.
Right, okay,
or
I see.
Editing.
Yeah, honestly,
just the movie
it wasn't
whole.
Until Force Awakens that I really gained a proper appreciation for the prequels. I went back and rewatched them, and I was like, at least they were super, super imaginative.
In the 2010s, the prequels are a lot stronger than they were when they first came out. I don't know necessarily what that means.
Now
I'm not going to dive into that too hard.
The VFX in Phantom Menace was not good enough yet.
Phantom Menace was rough. The two and three were a lot better.
Two and three were a lot better.
The Duel of Fates, though, was like actually pretty legit.
Yes, and
there were parts.
There were terrible bits in Attack. I actually completely forgot that Anakin love story crap was in Attack of the Clones until I asked someone. I was like, was that in that one?
They're I haven't
like,
watched them for a while.
Yeah, it's
oh, that makes sense. It would have to be.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
Oh, okay.
So that sucked. But another thing too is at least there was sort of a cohesive story.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on, and I shouldn't have to read books to know what's going on in a movie. And I'm not afraid of reading books, but I think the Marvel movies do an amazing job of this. If you want to read the supplementary literature,
you get cool additional information.
You can.
Not required.
But you don't have to. You don't need to go read a novel about Pym particles in order to, you know, have any idea what's going on in the movie.
Yeah.
I excited?
But not so actually excited is the. You
am
know.
I actually excited?
But the other
I
one.
I am afraid to be excited.
Okay.
I want it to be good. But I don't understand how it can possibly be good when basically everything that's happened in the previous two movies has kind of been nothing. It's like watching Arrested Development.
So here's an additional question.
Yeah.
Do you want to go see it or do you feel obligated?
I want to go see it. I was the kid who
So you feel obligated, I
my,
think.
My copy of The Essential Guide to Vehicles and Vessels, The Essential Guide to Weapons and Technology, The Essential Guide to Characters, my copies of those books, like literally Star Wars encyclopedia volumes, were so dog-eared that like they didn't, like, you know when the two corners fan out to like almost double the thickness of the actual book from having the pages flipped so many times. Like, I was such a Star Wars kid. I read so many of the books. I remember this one time my sister creased one of the pages in one of my pristine books in my full series of copies of the Young Jedi Knights collection. Have you read those by any chance?
Not the Young Jedi Knights.
Oh.
I have since read a lot of Star Wars books. And like I'm usually constantly having one.
They're written for adolescents, so the writing level is not particularly high, but I would say they did a way better job of character development and some kind of plausible ongoing story arc for Han, Leia, and Luke and like their offspring and all that. So, you know, Luke never ends up finding the right person and settling down. He just opens a Jedi school. I think it's on Yavin 4, so where the old Rebel base was.
Yeah.
Leia and Han are like off doing whatever it is that they do in government and whatever the crap. You know, Han's kind of uncomfortable with being settled. Like it's written by Kevin Anderson and who's the other one? Rebecca something, I can't remember. But they've done a bunch of Star Wars literature, so it ties in really nicely with the old EU that's now dead. There's more than one EU that's dying anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just realized that as I said it. I mean, expanded universe.
Okay.
And anyway, the kids are attending Luke's school, and you know they actually have to train to be Jedi. They're not just magically Jedi overnight. Like, you know
what was really, really sad? I watched an interview with Mark Hamill when he's reading the script for The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And the whole time he's like, "This is exciting. I'm really excited for my big entrance, basically." And you can understand, like, that's not even a pretentious thing, really.
He's Luke freaking Skywalker!
He's Luke Skywalker. Yeah, we're all excited for his big entrance. Him included, that's great. And he's reading through, and he gets to the fight, I was going to say duel, but the fight between Finn, Rey, and I forgot his name because I don't even care. Kylo. And when the lightsaber's like stuck in the snow and it starts to shake,
he's like,
this is it. This is when I come in. And then he's like, I read that Rey caught it. I was just like, what? She didn't train on Dagobah. And like the thing that drives me nuts about that is that was like his signature thing. Sorry, I don't want to get into this too much. My next follow-up question is, have you watched Mandalorian?
I don't have Disney Plus.
So
no.
I totally have Disney Plus by my own subscription, and I'm not using someone else's subscription for Disney Plus.
Okay, go ahead.
It's great.
Is it? Okay.
It's not perfect. There's parts where you're like, that are kind of funny. There's also a few parts that you're like, lore-wise, that makes no sense at all. But they're not that bad.
Okay.
Those parts of it are really not that bad. Right. There's parts of the show that are just freaking adorable.
Right.
There are parts of the show that are epic. Some of the fight scenes are fantastic. Some of them not quite as much, but some of them are, like, understanding that it's a TV show, it's great.
So
it is the first piece of content from Disney, Star Wars related, that I've been like, yeah, this is sick. And I have now watched not all of the episodes, but the vast majority of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like really excited to finish off what is currently available and then watch the last episode when it comes out.
Okay. All right. I will consider watching it. I have a harder time picking up TV shows. They are such a big time commitment.
They are.
Like it's
this
it's
one
rough.
Is this one is I think only 10 episodes.
Like I decided to watch Dark Crystal and then it was like, you know, a week's worth of not going to bed on time and being tired. Like it kind of sucks. Like it kills my productivity. Good night, Nick.
Well, are you out all of next week?
Most. We're in on Friday.
You're what?
We're in on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. So back to where was I gonna go with that?
Right.
Have you seen the like 45 minute thing of all the times Mark Hamill talked about Star Wars without talking about Star Wars? It's so great.
I didn't watch the whole thing, but
it's great.
I did watch some of it.
Yeah, I watched almost the entire thing, and it's just like it's hilarious.
And his opinions on a lot of this stuff is so, in my opinion,
he's
on
in line
point.
With the fans. He's a fan.
Yeah.
And it's not often that you can say that. Like, there's a lot of Hollywood phonies out there.
Oh, yeah.
I do not get that vibe from Mark Hamill.
No.
At all.
No.
At all. The
he
guy
seems
has,
to really...
He has respect for people who are great at their jobs. He calls out people who he thinks are not great at their jobs. He just seems to be actually an honest guy. And as a kid who loved Luke Skywalker, being able to grow up and be an adult who loves Mark Hamill is sort of like... You can't expect that to happen more than a couple times a generation.
Oh,
like it really just doesn't happen that often where people in person are as worthy of being looked up to as they are on screen when they're playing a character.
And something I'll say too is about, because I've been watching The Mandalorian with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's been fun because we pause it a lot. And she asks a lot of things about like the lore behind different stuff that isn't pushed in your face in the show. There's a lot of... I don't want to spoil too much. I'm not going to say any actual events. There's a lot of fan service that isn't shoved in your face.
Right, okay.
There's a lot of stuff where you can, like, recognize what that thing is, but they don't, like, address it and go super far into it, but they lead you enough down the path that there's enough context clues that you're like, oh, yeah, that's that thing from whatever. Yeah. That's super cool.
Right.
So it's been fun to like answer those things for. But my favorite thing about the show so far.
Yeah, go ahead. I also find those things kind of bother me though, because it's like a gigantic, it's a galaxy. Like if it's like an object, the odds of it like showing up in
it's fine. I don't want to get too far into it, but it's usually like a category
okay,
of things.
Fine.
That we haven't necessarily seen in the movies much.
Sure.
But they might be in the games or the EU.
Sure.
I've really, really enjoyed how they've handled characters.
Right.
There's a ton of characters that I do not like in the new Star Wars movies. One of the ones that I find most egregious is...
the Stormtrooper Captain.
Phasma?
Captain Phasma.
Yeah, they could have done so many cooler things with her. She's a super badass in Game of Thrones. And then she's just like barely there and then gets beat in a super lame fight against... not trying to ruin things.
Game of Thrones?
She the actress armor.
Oh, the actress.
Yeah,
okay.
She can clearly do amazing things, and then they relegated her to some boring stuff. Anyways, the Captain, what is it? Captain Hux? I don't remember his pre-name thing, but Hux?
I only watched the second one once. I only saw it in the theater. That was it.
This guy.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, the First Order, like...
He sucks.
Yeah, he has no
purpose
whatsoever.
Because he's so incompetent.
Yeah.
The Empire was really scary. At no point in time have I ever been like, oh, no, the First Order...
The whole First Order just doesn't make any sense.
And, like, one thing that I really like in Mandalorian is the enemies are... like, there's times where you're genuinely concerned. And you know, like, it's a show. He's obviously... But whatever. You're like, okay. Ow. Yeah. All right. Right. That one is scary. I'm worried now. And, like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And the good characters, there's, like, reasons.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, it's just... I think the writing just seems so much stronger. Yeah. Same guy that did the animated series.
Oh, okay. Which I know you liked a lot.
Yeah. So all it's not too surprising that I like it.
I have no idea how much people do or don't like this topic because I have no way of checking the chat. So if you guys hated it, sorry about that. And if you liked it, sorry about this, because we're going to move on to the New York Times location tracking expose. The New York Times has published an expose on the personal location tracking industry after spending months reviewing a tranche of data comprising a billion data points from 12 million Americans in several cities. So this file represents just a small slice of what's collected and sold every day by the location tracking industry. They can see the places you go every moment of the day, who you meet with or spend the night with, where you pray, whether you visit a methadone clinic, a psychiatrist's office, a massage parlor, or a massage parlor. And right now, it is perfectly legal to collect and sell this information in the United States with no federal law limiting the vast and lucrative trade of human tracking. So only internal company policies and the decency of individual employees prevent those with access to the data from stalking an estranged spouse or selling the evening commute of an intelligence officer to a hostile foreign power. I mean, okay. You could probably make a treason argument there when the time comes, but, I mean, it's been... I don't remember the last time someone actually got convicted of treason. Like, isn't the penalty for it still technically being put to death? I'm not actually sure about that.
I don't know. I have no idea at all.
Anyway, companies that collect this information justify their business on the basis of three claims. People consent to be tracked. The data is anonymous.
Yeah, sure.
And the data is secure. Let's walk through that, shall we? Consent. Usually, you allow location data because you think it's integral to the function of an app, like a weather app, for example. But the seduction of these consumer products is so powerful, this is a quote from the article, is so powerful that it sort of blinds us to the possibility that there's another way to get the benefits of the technology without the invasion of privacy. Anonymity. Yes, the location data contains billions of data points with no identifiable information, like a name or a social security number or an email address. But it's once you have so much data, it's really easy after the fact to connect real names to the dots that appear on the maps. Like, who else would sleep at your house every day? I mean, maybe I shouldn't ask.
And then
like,
go to your exact job.
Yeah, every day.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you're going to narrow it down to, like, a tiny handful of people immediately.
Yes.
And then with a very minimal, like, I'm talking... half hour max amount of work beyond that, you can probably figure out the exact person.
Yeah. How do we stop this?
Laws. I don't know.
I don't know.
This is beyond me.
Because there are services that legitimately I would be disappointed to not have anymore that do rely
and would notably negatively impact your life and reduce your competitiveness against other humans.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Yep. Because you'd be less efficient.
Yep.
Like, it's
I'd be more likely to get into an accident if I had to key in the address in my GPS instead of Google Maps just being like, hey, you usually go here on Monday nights.
You're more likely to
one button
not get the contract or job or deal or whatever if you're late. Because you
didn't know that there was traffic. Too bad, buddy. Tell me there's good news, Anthony.
Sure.
Is there?
With regard to?
The
Hack Pro?
Oh.
No?
Not necessarily, no.
Oh, all right, never mind.
It's not exactly bad there, news,
okay.
The same news.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah,
Merry Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Have a great holiday.
Bye.
So location data is also collected and shared alongside a mobile advertising ID, an anonymous identifier about 30 digits long that allows businesses to combine location traits with other information, like your name, home address, email, phone number, or even an identifier tied to your Wi-Fi network. Data companies say users consent to tracking when they agree to share their location, but those consent screens rarely make clear how the data is being packaged and sold. So current law. By law, companies need only describe their practices and their privacy policies, which tend to be dense legal documents that few people read and even fewer can truly understand.
The truly understand part's quite important.
The California Consumer Protection Act goes into effect next year and adds new protections for residents there, like allowing them to ask companies to delete their data or prevent its sale. Buyers are typically data brokers and advertising companies, and also include financial institutions, geospatial analysis companies, and real estate investment firms. I would be surprised if insurance companies aren't in there as well. They might pay more than $1 million for a tranche of data. Absolutely fascinating. So tell me something, Luke. How much location data does Floatplane collect from its users?
Technically, IP logging would have some amount of location data built into it.
But do we log it?
I don't think so.
All right, let's make sure we don't
keep it.
Yeah, let's make sure we don't keep it longer than like a short period of time.
We log IP data for a certain amount of time because we're trying to detect attacks and various other things.
This stuff is brutal, man. Like, how can we accept this? But then how do we go back to not having it? I don't know the answer. Like, I don't actually want legislators to come in and like make it illegal to collect it. I just wish they couldn't sell it. But then, okay, if they couldn't sell it, then would I have to pay for every app on my phone again? Do we go back to...
I'm okay with that.
$2 app? Do you want to go back to $2 apps?
Let me pay for apps.
Interesting.
I'm actually tired of this. Very tired of this.
Okay.
I sort... Every once in a blue moon when I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going on in the App Store. which doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, I was
going
to say,
Not nearly as often as it used to happen.
Yeah.
The games go are directly such a cesspool to now. The paid store.
Interesting.
I don't want more free apps. I don't want more junk on my phone. I don't want to figure out in 6 months that they're doing something terrible. I don't want to deal with the ads. I don't want to deal with microtransactions. I don't want to deal with all this stuff.
So basically,
let me pay for your thing.
You're a grown up with a job now.
Sure.
Because Luke, I met 9 years ago or whenever the heck it was, he would have wanted the free app. He'd have been like, I'm going to root my phone. And I'm gonna turn off all the telemetry data that way.
See, yeah.
I'm gonna rob them of their location data, and I'm gonna take their free app.
Rooted the phone, and then I would have gotten the paid.
That's
app.
Right, baby. That's the loop. That's the loop that I fell in love with.
Okay, but I would have gotten the paid app.
Oh, okay. What if you couldn't? What if you could get the free app, but you could just hack out all of the advertising?
Then that would
stuff?
Be
well,
fine
yeah,
too.
See, that's what I'm talking
and
about.
And there might be a reason why I don't have to hunt for new apps all the time. And I don't pay for Disney Plus. Not a ton has changed.
I mean, I know that you're on my Google Play Music account.
Yep.
Technically family.
Jake asked me, last night, I think, if I wanted to join him on, like, a Tidal subscription or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And he's like, why? I was like, well, I technically have it for free right now through Linus. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. He's like, well, this one's higher quality and stuff. Don't you want that? I was like... But it's free right now. I'm going to go with that one.
I'm going to have to kick you off it eventually.
Okay, so we don't currently do IP logging.
Okay,
but AJ
cool.
says that we should, but we would be auto-cleansing the logs after a certain amount of time.
Okay, just making sure.
But we do partner with Cloudflare, who does.
Okay.
And then I'm...
But we don't have that data.
It's accessible to us through the Cloudflare dashboard.
I see. Okay. But I'm pretty sure our terms of use wouldn't allow us to do anything with it.
No, we don't sell it. We don't do any of that kind of stuff.
Good.
But we do use it for very important things with websites.
So that's exactly the problem that we're running into here, is that there are very important things that, as a consumer and as a business owner, I value that make it important to collect this personal information.
Then there's also
but
issues.
As a consumer, I don't want people just doing whatever they want with it. Like, mm-hmm. It's Wild West right now.
There's also issues with the, like, you can't sell it thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you look at something like Discord, they're like, oh, we don't sell that kind of stuff. But you look at who owns them.
Yeah.
And if they use it internally and with their partners, which is, I think, how they word it. I don't remember exactly. It's been a long time. But they do say, like, we share it internally within our company. It's like, okay, so you're sharing it with Tencent, also known as a wild amount of companies.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So sure. where does the, like, linking of companies thing stop the selling of data?
Yeah.
Because you're not selling it.
You might not sell the data, but you might sell the whole company.
Sure, that too.
Yeah. I don't have a solution.
Spooky.
In other news, we've got, I think, one more thing that we promised to get through with you guys. Apple, Amazon, and Google unite to create a universal smart home standard. IKEA is involved, too. So is Signify, which is Philips Hue, and Samsung. You know what? There you go. Whatever. If you want to hear more about this, you can go watch it on TechLinked.
Yes!
No way! Right now?
Yes! Yes! Good job, Jaden!
That should not have worked.
Oh, my, we didn't know. No, we're cutting it there. The Flowplane app is coming to the App Store.
That
Here
should
we
not
go.
Have worked.
It's on iOS, or it's not yet, but it's coming to
You're
iOS.
You're a monster.
That took way too much work.
You know,
oh, my goodness.
If you weren't on my team...
This was not my idea.
I don't think I'd like you as much.
I approved it, but it wasn't. This wasn't my idea.
And
oh,
I guess I knew
goodness.
About it. I'm complicit.
Yeah.
So the Flowplane app will be on the App Store.
Yes.
That's
yep.
all I'm saying.
Yeah. And it's yep. It'll be great.
What is it? 24 hours?
I don't know.
I don't have an iOS device on me right now. I'm going to take my iPhone home this weekend.
It can take up to 24 hours okay. before your app becomes available on the App Store.
Unreal.
Okay, so one thing that we will say is your login on iOS has to be a Flowplane official login. Connected accounts will not work on the App Store yet. They will come later. That's because Apple didn't want us to have external login methods if we didn't also have login
sign
with, Apple,
with Apple.
Sign in with
yeah.
Apple.
Which is no problem.
We will support that eventually. Yeah. It's just going to take some work to get there. And they were not okay with the app being on the store if it didn't have that. So once we support sign in with Apple, which is going to take some work again, we will add in the other connected account sign in options. That being said, if you have a connected account sign in, you do also have a Flowplane sign in. What you're going to need to do is log in on the main site on a different device or on your computer and request a password reset because it's garbly-gook right now because you're using a connected account.
Right.
Set your password, and then you can log in with the connected account or your native Flowplane account. So you're totally fine. Just use your native Flowplane login, and then we'll add that functionality later. But yeah, that's the only thing that's missing from the iOS version is the connected account login.
You know what's cool? A lot of people have hated on the Flowplane name, but for better or for worse,
it's pretty good for
searchability. It's not taken.
Yeah.
I searched for Flowplane on the App Store. Where if I search for like flashlight app, there's literally thousands of results.
There's
seven results. So this is Flight Plan, which I think will have no problem taking over once you know something actually called Flowplane is up.
Yeah.
There's FitTrack, an aviation app that lets you track your flights in real time.
Seaplane.
Seaplane. Experience the thrill of flying your own seaplane as you take off and land on water. Fleet Plan eDocs, DHC2 Beaver sticker app. What even is that? And FitLogic. So, you know what? There you go. The advantage to picking something that everyone else thinks is kind of meaningless and stupid is that nobody else has done it yet.
Yeah. There's a guy that works on a YouTube channel that I've been talking to for a little while now about some various things. And he was talking to me about how they were performing a lot stronger than they are now. And a notable part of the reason is that a really big musician released a song with the same name as their channel. And now on YouTube, if you ever search it, it's just the song every time.
And then all the remixes and covers of the song.
And like with lyrics and everything else. Yeah, so like that sucks. that sucks real bad.
Yeah, what do you do at that point?
Nothing. They're in a really tough spot. Like, it's pretty rough.
Oh, wow.
And, like, that's probably not the only reason. There's,
no.
There's other reasons.
There could be other reasons.
But that's
like,
definitely contributing.
That's not helping.
Yeah.
I mean, when people can't find your channel by searching for the name of the channel, that's rough.
Yeah. 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 So that hurts.
Oh, YouTube.
Speaking of channels, the response to Flowplane going into beta was huge. This week's been nuts. Everyone at Flowplane's done a great job. There was some crazy stuff that needed to be handled, and it was handled very well, I think, internally. Good job, everybody. You're fantastic.
We definitely did have some outages, but we're good. We figured it out.
We figured it out. Not necessarily, like...
I didn't.
Who should have? Oh, I didn't mean that.
Oh, that. You mean the C-word company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And look, I'm not saying it's like a swear word.
No.
No, C word just is like, you know, a word.
Yeah.
It's got a C in it.
Yep. Anyways, it was a crazy week for a lot of very good reasons. One thing that was kind of fun.
It's got an F in it too.
Was one thing that was kind of fun was a lot of users thought that they needed to apply to join the site as a user.
Ah.
So we got a lot of like dating app style applications because the creator application form has a tell me about yourself section, which is more like tell me about the content you make, etc. But when it's a user signing up, it becomes
like long walks on the beach,
etc.
That's adorable.
Yeah, that was kind of cute.
We could have messaged that better.
Probably,
sorry guys.
Probably there was, you know, we're new to this stuff.
Still learning.
So I had to send out a lot of emails being like, thanks a ton, but here's where I think you're probably trying to get to. Sorry about the navigational issues there, but yeah, it's been great. We have actually a very large amount of really awesome creators have applied.
Like kind of overwhelming. Like we thought when we started this that we were gonna have to lean on like, you know, me building personal relationships with creators and then like being like, hey, by the way, we like do this thing. Do you want to help us sort of get it kickstarted by joining? But actually, the amount of positive buzz, aside from the handful of very vocal haters on the project, the amount of positive buzz that's going on behind the scenes, like the number of multi-billion dollar companies that are aware of what Luke and the team are doing and are like, hey.
What's going on over there?
What's that? Oh, yeah. Interesting. It would blow
cool.
your mind. It's
kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea when that interview we did is going to go up?
No.
Me neither. I should have asked.
No idea. Yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun. Hopefully we don't look like idiots. Or hopefully we do. And then we catch everyone by surprise with their pants down. Anyway, speaking of pants down, I've got to go home and take my pants off because I'm on vacation for a week. Don't worry. There'll still be videos. And I'm not really on vacation. I have to go visit all of my, like, four families because my family is a fractured, divided mess. But that's neither here nor there.
You said cleaning your garage was vacation. I think that still means that's vacation.
No, cleaning my garage is pretty therapeutic.
Okay. I'm not going to dive into that anymore. Thanks for watching the show, everybody.
See ya. Yeah, I did that once on vacation. That was pretty good.
Wow. That sounds terrible.
I actually like
it. Why would you do that?
So that if I'm looking for a red piece, I can find one, obviously.
That's fantastic.
See ya!
Bye!
Show's brought to you by Oak Canada Supply. Display. Rigid Wallet.